And I think this provides a very good starting point for listening to Ulrika Modéer, that is now in charge of trying to define what should we do with all these contradictions and difficulties and wishes to reconcile the short term with the long term, or the long term with the short term, rather. Ulrika, you are welcome.
Thank you, and thank you, Eba, the authors, and also those of you who have commented for this valuable report. Since migration, but also the situation of the 60 million refugees that we have in our world, I think will be and is really one of the defining phenomena of this time. We need to look much closer into this. We need to debate. And as has been said, we are also in a process within the OECD DAC to see within the working group how we can clarify this better, to be able also to see in a more clear way how we plan and report, to see to that we live up to the best standards to deliver on aid and development efficiency. And as a government, we have also to take in mind a report from the Swedish National Audit Office that has looked into the process of the Swedish government planning and reporting on deduction of funds or the in-donor costs for asylum seekers. And the government has to both deliver within the working group of the OECD DAC, but also to respond to the report of the Swedish National Audit Office. And I think that this report that you have issued now will also be a valuable input to the process that we are in this year, both in both these areas. I want also to give a broader context on migration and development in the context of the 2030 agenda. And also look, as was said here by one of you commenting, that migration is both a problem, but we have to look at the opportunities, and this is the way that we should work. We know that migration is a driver of human progress and development. And as was said, Sweden has worked actively with this aspect on migration for several years. When people migrate, they improve their own lives while also bringing benefits both to the host societies and also the country of origin. There are triple wins in this system. But at the same time, of course, we face significant challenges. We are in times where the number of conflicts and war are increasing, causing 65 million displaced people worldwide. And we also know that climate change and other changes in our ecosystem will stress the situation in many areas of the world, not least the developing countries, probably aggravating the existing tensions and divisions within and between societies. And this might also cause more people to have to leave, to migrate, but also as refugees because of conflict. So, once again, migration and the situation of refugees is really one of the defining phenomena of our time, even though we now, with new policies in one of the big democracies, see new challenges ahead of us. It is therefore very suitable that migration has also been addressed in the new agenda for sustainable development and also in the agenda defining how to finance the SDG agenda in the Addis Ababa Action Agenda. It was mentioned, but reminder is always good, that there are three overarching objectives in relation to the SDGs with regard to migration. That is to promote the positive development effects of safe, orderly, and regular responsible migration, to guarantee migrants' human rights, and to protect in specifically the vulnerable migrants, and to ensure that people migrate out of choice and not out of necessity, that is also to address the root causes of forced migration. As some of you might know, otherwise I hope you will look into it, the government of Sweden has recently adopted a new policy framework for development cooperation and also for the humanitarian aid. And in this policy framework, we try to address the relation between the long-term development cooperation and our humanitarian efforts. And in this policy framework, we make good use of the SDG framework, but there is also for the first time a specific chapter on migration and development. It has not been presented that specifically within our development cooperation before. And that is because we see that migration cut across many policy areas. And it's also an important area to address in relation to the policy that was decided in Parliament back in 2003, the policy for global development, and how we need to look on all our policies within government to ensure that we have good politics to support the positive aspects of migration, but also to address the problematic sides of the same. You also know that the Swedish Policy Coherence for Development has its model within the EU, and we find it every day more important to be an active member of the EU to see to that also the EU take good policies and also promote good practices, both in relation to their development cooperation, but also in relation to the broader agenda and how development cooperation is being used within the EU. These practices changes rapidly, and Sweden has been very active and will continue to be so. Once again, mentioned before, but still some of the positive development effects and how we can support them. Remittances is one of them. It constitutes more than three times of our development assistance. But as we know also, when we now have new goals within the Sustainable Development Agenda, we have work to do. We have a long way to go to reach the SDG of less than 3% of transfer costs for remittance, and Sweden is one of the countries that have to walk faster. In order to encourage this competition among banks and businesses, the government took a decision in 2015 where we created a website, Money from Sweden, that allows users to compare donor costs. And we have evaluated this project and will move it onwards together with other activities to see to that we decrease the costs for remittances. Members of diaspora communities, of course, contribute to skills transfers and also transfer of social norms, ideas and behavior to safeguard our international norm system that we have decided upon. And they also, of course, make investments and promote trade between countries. And there are also and have been during times interesting projects to look closer into and to develop based on evaluations, such as the Forum Syd project working with the Somali diaspora in Sweden to see how we can support business skills and entrepreneurship in Somalia, as well as we raise awareness of women and youth participation and rights in the democracy process of Somalia. Human rights and access to the opportunities of their host societies are essential to the empowerment of migrants. And in the Agenda 2030, we have committed to protect the rights of all migrants, including migrant workers' rights. And we need to promote this and the access to employment and education and ensure that they receive human treatment, and many of the funds and new different ways of supporting the Syria crisis, there we can see examples of how we try to promote also the right to work of people who are both refugees but also migrants. As a feminist government, and you have heard this before, we think it's imperative to mainstream gender, and the situation of women and girls need to be looked closer into when we talk about migration and refugee. And we work actively now within the humanitarian support, where we know by evaluations that we need to emphasize more the rights of girls and women, and have also good methodology to see to that we do this in an integrated way, as we have been doing perhaps more in our long-term development cooperation. And one example of projects that could be interesting is the Women's Learning Partnership, where we give support to Syrian women. And there are several projects within our multilateral support with International Organization of Migration and so on that could be interesting to look closer into. Of course, also the rights of the children in a migration context are of special concern, and SIDA works within Partnership for Education to support the education of displaced children and youth. And even if they remain at home, the children of migrant workers suffer, of course, very much from the absence of their parents. And you know that we have support to several of the very active civil society organizations such as Save the Children and Plan International with regard to this. What about the root causes? Well, addressing root causes that people have to leave their homes because of conflict or persecution is, you could say, the raison d'etre for all our development cooperation. I mean, to support people to make their own choices about their own life and their own future is what we have decided upon. So therefore, I think it's very valid to question when we are now within the EU, for instance, making different packages of what should actually be our main concern in the long-term development cooperation, but also in relation to humanitarian support. So I think, I mean, bolstering the rule of law, working long-term with human rights, with gender equality and democracy, but also, of course, improving education and working and employment opportunities is what we need to do to ensure that people can take decisions about their own future. Another important component that we have been working on within the Swedish government, given the circumstances of an increased number of conflicts over the world, we have introduced conflict prevention as one of the main guiding principles of the development agency SIDA. But we have also engaged multilaterally in conflict prevention and conflict resolution, peace and state building through the international dialogue, where Isabella Lövin, the Minister for Development Cooperation, is one of the leading figures. With regard to the discussion on how to bridge, and it has been, as was said, a discussion over decades. Now it's moving faster, so we really need to think this through well, so to see to that the practices are really based on knowledge that we have learned during all these years of discussion. But we can also look on practice and the Syria crisis strategy that Sweden took a decision on, where we relate our more long-term development support in conflict to also humanitarian assistance, I think is a very interesting strategy to learn from and to see how we develop this in the future. Well, in conclusion, we need to make sure that migration is a choice and not a necessity, and that migrants are allowed to have access to education, employment, and services in their host communities. We need to focus on empowerment of migrants because we need to see and remind ourselves in the debate now about the negative aspects of migration, that this is actually something that also benefits our societies, but also development all over the world. And we also need to see how we can deliver on our commitments. Predictability is, of course, one of the main aspects of good results of our development cooperation. And, of course, we see within the government that we have not given the best predictable scenarios for all the important actors that work within our development cooperation. But at the same time, we need to see that it has not been predictable for the Swedish municipalities either when Sweden received 163,000 asylum seekers in 2015. So I'm looking forward to the discussion here today, but also that you will be able to follow the process that we have within OECD DAC, within the government, when looking on how to change and develop the system. I think the issue on transparency, how to report, is very important. We have made some improvements, but of course there are always possible improvements still to be made to clarify what we are doing, how we are doing it. But I think what's most important is to see how we can change the system a bit to see too that it becomes more predictable so we can do even better planning and give way for improved results of our development cooperation. Thank you.